We're starting this hour with the latest from Syria, where Russian planes targeted ISIS fighters today, the latest bombings in a long conflict. But it's the base where those planes took off from that is surprising. They took off from Iran. It is the first time Russia has used another country to conduct military operations in Syria. Joining us from Moscow is NPR's Corey Flintoff. And Corey, what's the significance of this?
Well, Jeremy, the officials here in Russia are saying that it's just cheaper and more efficient for Russia to use bases in Iran. You know, up until now, a lot of these Russian long-range bombers have been flying all the way from bases in Russia. But I think the real significance here, though, is that it takes the military alliance between Russia and Iran to a new level, you know, allowing Russian warplanes to operate from Iranian soil. In a way, it mirrors the U.S. relationship with Turkey, you know, where American planes fly out of Incirlik. It's a base in southern Turkey.
Well, what is the Russian goal in Syria right now? Because we remember that earlier this year in March, Russia said it was putting a stop to its military operations in Syria, which clearly has not happened.
Yeah, well, I think the goal of that announcement back in March may have been to assure the Russian public that this really was a short-term intervention and not the beginning of a quagmire in the Middle East. I think the political goal now for Russia is more or less the same. It's, you know, to establish Russia as a key player in the Syrian war, and it's to show that Russia can be an effective partner in the fight against Islamist terrorism. But ultimately, it's, you know, to change the sentiment in Europe and America so the West will drop its economic sanctions against Russia.
And those economic sanctions went into place because of what happened between Russia and Ukraine. I want to ask you about what's happening there now, because there's been a report of a rise in tensions between Russia and Ukraine. What's going on?
Well, as you know, there's been a steady increase in fighting in eastern Ukraine. That ceasefire has never really taken hold. And that's been documented by monitors from the OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. And on top of that, there's now a very tense situation in Crimea. Russia accuses Ukraine of sending saboteurs into Crimea. It says Ukrainian gunfire killed two Russian servicemen there. And President Putin has said that's something that will not go unanswered. The Ukrainians are saying that incident never happened. You know, but other people think Putin may have decided he can gain more advantage or more ground in Ukraine while the Western world is distracted, you know, by the vacation period in August and by the Olympics.
Funnily enough, some of us are actually still working in August. I guess the vacation period doesn't apply to everyone. Let me just ask you about one more thing, though, Corey, because the relationship with Russia has become a really central part of the presidential campaign here in this country. Just this week, with a new report about Paul Manafort, Donald Trump's campaign manager, and what he had been doing in Ukraine for the former government of Yanukovych, which is a pro-Russian government. How is all this playing out in Russia about the relationship between Trump and Putin?
You know, I was talking to a Russian analyst just today, and he said the relationship isn't about Trump. It's about Hillary Clinton. He said Putin intensely dislikes Clinton. He believes that she was behind those anti-government demonstrations here back in 2011, 2012. And the thinking goes that Putin would like to see Clinton politically damaged, say, by revelations from those hacked DNC emails. That way, you know, even if Clinton is elected president, that damage could weaken her as far as foreign policy activities are concerned. On the other hand, if Trump is elected, you know, most analysts in Russia think he's somebody that Russia could do business with. But some people are actually worried that he could be quite an unpredictable partner.
But wanting Clinton to be damaged and actually going out and trying to damage her, which some people have alleged happened with the Russians actually going in and doing the hacking, what's the sense over there of what's actually going on?
Well, you know, as far as Russian public opinion is concerned and Russian state media are concerned, it never happened. The Russian officials have denied it. They've sort of made fun of the allegation, although, in fact, as we've seen in U.S. reports, there is a sort of a plausible chain of evidence that seems to connect all these dots. But it's very, very difficult. And in fact, the same analyst I was talking to today said it's very, very difficult to identify the source of these hacks and say that they're somehow orchestrated by the Kremlin. He personally thought that that was never going to happen because the evidence has been so well concealed.
That's NPR's Corey Flintoff joining us from Moscow. Corey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's a pleasure talking with you.